This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know when you're at a party and someone casually drops a travel finance tip that makes you rethink every trip you've ever booked? That's the energy Smart Travel brings. Except it's backed by serious research and delivered in a way that's actually fun to listen to. They cover topics like which flight deals are actually deals and which are just clickbait, how to get value from your points instead of settling for that tiny reward at checkout, and the smartest ways to book flights without laying that exhausting game of guess the cheapest day. If you care about traveling well and not overspending to do it, this is a show you'll want in your rotation. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, everybody? DeAndre Koch here for another weekly edition of The Quick Hits, our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles in travel. And as of recording this, there's not a ton of news to talk about. I will start with a reminder that we do have our survey. We'll have that in the show notes for our first ever Boldly Go community meetup. We have our official party planning committee who has been working to figure out and secure some opportunities for all of us who are interested to have a really cool community meetup. We haven't figured out where yet, but in the survey, there's options of dates and cities of interest. And it would be really cool to meet a lot of the people that, you know, I get to see chatting on a day-to-day basis. I've chatted with you all in our WhatsApp community chat. Many of you have emailed and corresponded in different ways. So it'd be really cool just to have an informal get together somewhere in the country or maybe out of the country where we can chat points and miles and just have a good old time. So that's going to be in our show notes if you haven't received that yet. And you have until the end of this month, March 31st, to fill that out and complete that. And then the party planning committee will get to work working on that some more. There's some good news for international travelers that global entry is back. The Trump administration has resumed global entry processing at U.S. airports after unexpectedly shutting it down more than a couple of weeks ago during the current partial government shutdown. What made the shutdown unusual is that applications and interviews were still continuing, but travelers who already had global entry weren't allowed to actually use the benefit at airports, which really made no sense. And so the Department of Homeland Security also says that it reversed course after evaluating the impact of the shutdown. And while global entry is now back online, the broader shutdown is still affecting travel in other ways, with TSA agents missing paychecks, more officers are calling out sick, which has already led to some insanely long security lines at some airports. I've had friends that have reached out to me that are essentially been stranded in different places in Florida and other places where all the rental cars are taken, the trains are taken, all flights are booked, and they've had cancellations and other issues. And they basically were just asking me how I would get back home if I were myself. And I was really spending some time helping them. So hopefully you're not impacted. Hopefully I'm not impacted. As I record this, I'm on my way to, but I'm about to leave to Vail for our annual kind of friends group ski trip. We're going to be staying at the Grand Hyatt in Vail and looking forward to that. Stayed at the Park Hyatt Beaver Creek last year, and that was a phenomenal stay. So looking to compare and contrast a little bit with a bunch of my friends. I know the conditions probably aren't going to be as great as they usually would be. However, this weekend, coincidentally, because we already have this book, one of the top electronic DJs out there right now, John Summit, is performing a festival in Vail. And we already had our room, our flight, everything booked when they were announced this. And what's better is I was able to buy my tickets using my StubHub credits last year for this. So just a points and miles win across the board. I know I'm going to be meeting up with Ross Alcorn down there as well, who you might recall, he has the show World Travel Made Easy, and he's going to be down there as well with a group also. So there's going to be a bunch of points enthusiasts down there. If you happen to be in Vail, make sure to reach out to me. Let me know. Would love to get a chance to meet up with you if possible. United Airways CEO Scott Kirby is warning that flight prices could soon rise, and the reason is jet fuel and essentially what's going on the other side of the world. Because basically jet fuel prices have surged dramatically in the past week due to the Middle East tensions. And according to the Argus U.S. Jet Fuel Index, prices are now around almost $4 per gallon, which is almost a 60% increase in just 1 week. Since that's one of the biggest expenses for airlines, second only to labor, when fuel cost spikes, the airlines pass those on to us, the travelers. And basically, the takeaway here, just to abbreviate this a little bit, is if you're planning a trip later this year, it may be worth it locking in flights sooner rather than later, especially if you can book something flexible. And remember, basically with all the US airlines, especially the major ones, you can always book something and then track that. And if the flight does go back down and makes it cheaper later on, you can always rebook that flight and get a flight credit back, basically. So essentially canceling out your existing flight, rebooking the new one, getting a flight credit to pay for that next flight, and you'll have the remaining balance setting as a flight credit. So while it may not be ideal to just have a flight credit sitting there, if it's with an airline you fly all the time, you are basically guaranteed the fact that you can save some money in the future if costs do go down. Unfortunately, Hilton Honors has quietly raised award pricing again, and this is now the fourth increase in just over a year. Several popular properties are seeing higher standard room rates than before. For example, the Conrad Osaka used to price at 90,000 points per night, but now Sun Nights are showing it as up to 110,000 points. The Grand Wailea Maui has jumped from 110 to as high as 155,000. And the Grand Hotel Victoria in Lake Como increased from 140,000 to 170,000 points per night. But the bigger change is how Hilton is actually pricing these awards. Even standard reward nights are now showing peak and off-peak ranges, meaning a room might cost 90,000 points one night, but 110 or even 120,000 points later in the same month. Now, we know that Hilton already was using dynamic pricing, but historically, standard room awards had a fixed rate for each property. But now these prices are starting to move up and down more, making it harder to know exactly how much points you're going to need if you're trying to plan a future trip. Now, the good news is free night certificates are still uncapped, and we have an upcoming episode with a VP at Hilton where he talks a little bit more about that. But it is always a bummer when we see devaluations happening and prices going up.
You've heard me talk about Bilt as the loyalty program that lets you earn points on rent wherever you live. And they just leveled up even more. As of 2026, homeowners can also earn up to 1.25x points on their mortgage payments. This is thanks to Bilt's three new credit cards, the Palladium Card, Obsidian Card, and Blue Card. All three turn your housing payments, rent or mortgage, into flexible rewards, so you can choose the card that fits your lifestyle without missing out on points and exclusive benefits. Bilt points can be redeemed at top airlines and hotels, Amazon.com purchases, future rent payments, and even more. Bilt points have also been ranked by top publications as the industry's most valuable points currency. Your housing payment is already your biggest expense. Make it your most rewarding. Find the card that fits your lifestyle and apply today at joinbilt.com/journey. That is joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Terms and limitations apply. Subject to approval and eligibility, Bilt cards are issued by Column NA, member FDIC, pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Also, American Express is expanding its restaurant network in a pretty big way, which could make those of us that have dining credits on cards like the Amex Gold, the Amex Platinum, and the Delta Reserve much easier to use. So if you're familiar with Resy, which I have talked about on the show, other people have talked about as well, and you basically, with the Amex Platinum, which I love, it's great for date nights, we get $100 Resy credit every single quarter because my wife and I have separate personal Amex Platinums. That's basically two guaranteed weeks each quarter that we have a Resy restaurant that we're going to go to. We have a bunch in our area for a date night. But anyway, this platform of Resy is about to absorb a competing platform called Tock later this summer. And when that happens, the Resy ecosystem will grow to more than 25,000 restaurants, wineries, and dining experiences. And so the challenge for many people have been that a lot of times these credits have only worked at major cities. Now, I'm not in a huge city, but I have plenty of restaurants that I can choose from. Well, I say plenty. I have like maybe a half dozen. But Tock specializes in fine dining restaurants, tasting menus, and winery experiences across the country. So once those venues move into this Resy platform, there should be even more places to actually use those credits. That integration is expected later this year, and Amex says Tock restaurants should begin accepting those Resy credits starting sometime this year as well. If you have the Chase Freedom and Freedom Flex card, it is time to register for those Q2 rotating category card bonuses. You have the option between Amazon, Chase Travel, and Feeding America. And that's if you want to get the 5X on spend in those categories. And you can do that at chasebonus.com. That's chasebonus.com to make that selection if you haven't already. In our WhatsApp community chat, Rosie has shared a little bit about the non-glamorous side of points, which is more so, instead of it just being all about five-star hotels and resorts, she explained a little story when there was a family emergency, and because of points, she was able to make some things happen travel-wise that would not have been an option previously or would have cost a lot of money previously before the points and miles world. So super appreciate that being shared, Rosie, as well. I think it's important to show that points can be a lot more than just the things that we plan and the ideal trips to the Maldives and Bora Bora and places like that. I thought I'd share a couple things that I actually have done just in the last week from a point standpoint that these are be things that I usually would wait until the mid-year recap, but there could be someone that this could possibly help with as well. So I figured I'd share just a couple things before we wrap this one up. The first is I unexpectedly found that Taryn and I, we need to go to Charleston, South Carolina, which is a pretty fun place if you haven't been there before, but we have to be there in relatively short notice. I say relatively because it's in a couple weeks. So it's not like tomorrow, but it's in a couple weeks. So we need to go down there to get us a few things taken care of. And we're meeting some friends and some people for some different things right in the historic district. And a lot of things that we need to do down there are in this historic district. Well, the Hyatt place in this historic district on the dates that we're going is $1,000 per night for a Hyatt place. And there's no points options, by the way. All the standard or points rooms are booked completely. Now, we could stay. There's about four other Hyatt options in the surrounding area, but that would be 30 minutes outside of where we want to be. And so while we could do that, maybe rent a car, do some other things, that was not really the route that we were wanting to go. So what do we do? Well, ended up actually using this as an opportunity to book Hilton. There's a Hilton property that was right there, almost a few blocks away from the Hyatt property. It's a Curio Collection, so nice property, nice hotel. 100,000 Hilton points per night. So that could be 50,000 Amex points if you transferred it with the 1-to-2 ratio. I already have Hilton points. I have a good amount because I buy them every single year. So used a free night certificate and 100,000 Hilton points for those two nights. But also what was interesting was flights were ridiculously expensive as well. And I can't figure out why. I think in general, Charleston just might be expensive to get to because it wasn't really making sense. It was cheaper for us to fly down to Tulum or Cancun, Mexico, than it was to fly into Charleston this weekend that we're going. And so what we ended up doing is I ended up looking and I was trying to do the usual flying American Airlines, et cetera, but that wasn't going to work right. And this was for a typical fly in on Friday morning, kind of fly out Sunday. Well, come to look at it, do a little bit of strategy here, looking at one ways as opposed to round trip. Come to find out, we could leave and fly Breeze the night before. And it's like a Thursday night, 9 p.m. flight, getting in close to midnight. But that's basically the same as leaving early on a Friday morning. Both ways saved a lot of money. But there is a Hyatt by the airport that's maybe 6,000 points for the night. I don't remember exactly what it was. But what's great about that is I was able to kind of use a different type of point strategy as opposed to saying just having my Hyatt points or being stuck outside of where I wanted to be because I only had Chase points or Hyatt points. So my whole point with this story is just like with investments and financial planning, by having a diversified point strategy and diversified ecosystem that allows you more flexibility with your options when it comes to travel, especially things that might be a little bit shorter notice that you're not planning way out in advance. Same thing I've said before, I can't give financial advice on the podcast, but there's reasons why as advisors, we love the word diversified and you never see any sort of pension fund or hedge fund or anything that's sitting on bajillions of dollars putting it all in the S&P 500 because that's not necessarily diversified. So same thing with your points, be diversified and that can create options for you. The second thing, this was a huge win week for me as well when it comes to applying for cards. I really wasn't planning on opening a good amount of cards this year, but I saw that my Amex Business Platinum, my renewal fee hit for last week. And if you are new to this world, when you get a new card, especially like an Amex business card, if you wonder how people can have three or four Amex business cards, Amex business platinum cards specifically, and how are they able to do that? Well, part of it is because a lot of times Amex will just keep offering them to you. And if you accept it, you accept it and you get the points for it. Well, I hadn't gotten any offers at all. And my renewal came up. And this is a card that I would keep if I didn't have another one. I've had a bunch over time, but pretty much this is my only Amex business card right now. Well, when my renewal happened, what I ended up doing was I did some Google searching and to find a no lifetime limit or NLL link, which basically means I can apply as many times as I want and it's not blocked because I already have a business platinum card. I found an old one and used my incognito browser on my Chrome to apply, just not really thinking much would happen. Lo and behold, I got accepted and approved for another 250,000 Amex points with my Amex business platinum with a new one. Well, why did I do that? Well, I'm going to keep this card anyway, regardless of the previous one. So if I did not get approved, I was going to keep this card and eat the $900 fee because I can get that value out of the fee. But by just taking the chance to apply, I effectively got a sub or a sign-up bonus for my renewal, basically. So what I mean by that is I'm still paying the $895 fee regardless, but now I'm getting 250,000 Amex points with it, and I was able to line it up with my card. And because I've already used my Fine Hotel and Resort benefit, my Dell credit, and other things, I've maximized this previous Amex Business Platinum. And because I've waited till the fee posted, I have 30 days to call them to cancel the card, and they're not going to claw back my points, and they're going to refund me that fee. So it's a complete win across the board because I have stretched this card out with what I can do in the Q1 and the first half of the year benefits. And I get to reset all of that when I get the new card that should be arriving any day now, because now I have a new Dell credit I can use. I have a new Fine Hotel and Resort benefit to use for this half of the year, amongst other things. And that's got me super excited because I got to reset all of that. And my fee is the same renewal fee that I was just about to pay on the last card. So I say that to say, if you do have a business platinum card or business gold card that you do actually use, you do plan to keep, it may be worthwhile to look and seeing, hey, can I apply for a new one and basically get a welcome offer or a sign-up bonus in exchange for my renewal fee as opposed to just eating the fee in general? I'm going to wrap up the quick hits with that one. I hope each and every one of you has a fantastic weekend and week. If any of you are catching the late season in Vail, make sure to ping me. We'd love to get a chance to connect. As always, I am grateful for each and every one of you that takes a moment out of your busy lives and busy days to listen to this show and to consume the things that we put out on the website and our blogs and Instagram and all the social media and all the different things. So I do greatly appreciate each and every single one of you. I hope each of you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales Podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.